Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is a guest host. Dr. Olala is away on a ministry venture and speaking at a revival, and we're thankful for the opportunities that the Lord gives him to minister. We miss him, but look forward to his soon return. But today we are happy to have evangelist Kevin Brownfield. And Kevin, you're no stranger to the broadcast, and most of our listeners will know you. But for those who may be joining us for the first time, you have been in evangelism for...
I have been preaching now for about 26 years, going on 27 years. I've been an evangelist for about 18, 19 of those years.
And you and your wife have, I think, five children?
Five children.
And you serve here at Northern Baptist Bible College on the staff, and you also are part of the pastoral team at Grace Baptist Church up in Kingsford, Michigan.
That is correct.
So your life is all about ministry.
It's all about ministry.
You were part of a discussion that we have been having on how to be a team player in life.
Mm.
Dr. Matt Williams' book, How to Be a Team Player, is certainly at the core of our discussion here. And we are now coming to the portion in our discussion where we want to start looking at biblical examples of what we've been talking about. The idea of being on a team together with our authorities and submitting to them, working together with our co-laborers, and being sincere with them, and then serving those that God has given us the ability to lead. And I'm excited about the topic today because we're going to be looking at the life of a man who was an authority, and he was also a co-laborer, and he was working with certainly a subordinate that was in trouble. And why don't you introduce us to the topic today?
Well, I just want you to imagine in your mind, I want you to think about a man who is a businessman. He has a number in his employ, their slaves, servants, whatever you want to call him. And one of those young men is angry and bittered about his position in life. And he, as a lot of scholars think, he basically just robs from his boss, so to speak, and steals the money to take a 1,000-mile journey to Rome and get out from under his employ and just dump the whole thing.
I would say that's a problem.
That is a problem. And that's kind of the setting that we're looking at. There's some really small books in the New Testament that sometimes kind of get overlooked, but man, they are just so potent with truth. And mm-hmm. I think Philemon is one of those books that often
sure.
gets overlooked.
Sure it does.
And we don't spend a lot of time there, but yet it, in my mind, is one of the most incredible stories of redemption and reconciliation and peacemaking and master-servant relationship. And I kind of entitled this From Master to Mentor, because that's exactly mm-hmm. what is going to take place. You've got a man named Philemon. He's a master. He's really going to take on the mentoring position.
I mean, this is kind of like the story of what you do when one of your team members bails on you.
Exactly. And as we talked in time past with Dr. Kimbrough about the family, you could even apply this in the family context of a child that has gone
sure.
away from the things of God. And, you know, what's the prayer of your heart and what is it you want to see? You want to see him reconciled.
So what is it about Philemon that attracted you to the topic today?
Well, you know, Philemon seems to be a very interesting man, and Paul begins this little letter by basically commending Philemon for four compelling characteristics about his life that really make him a man who is a man of God. You know, if you open up the little book of Philemon, Paul just jumps right into it. And the first thing that Paul does, I believe, is commends Philemon, because here is a businessman that is utterly committed to Christ.
And that doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to him. In fact, I mean, here is a major reversal in his business. I mean, he has a slave or a servant or whatever relationship Onesimus had. Like you said, he steals a large amount of money and heads off.
Right.
That's a very, very big reversal. So bad things sometimes happen to godly men in business.
Exactly. And Philemon was on the receiving end of this
yeah.
particular endeavor, but he was committed to Christ. Matter of fact, you know, just the first words of the text, he is so committed to Christ that Paul calls him a beloved, basically a dearly beloved fellow laborer is what
yeah.
Paul is calling him here. He is saying that Onesimus, he is not just a businessman, he's not just a man who has been in the money world, but he is a man that is totally committed to Christ. And to me, that is such a commendable thing. When I have traveled around the country, I have often reveled in finding businessmen in local churches whose hearts are so tender and sensitive to the things of God.
Like you said, he was a fellow laborer with Paul, and that certainly would indicate he was very involved in ministry affairs, not just in the affairs of the business.
No, he is involved in the ministry because Paul really is commending him because he labored so diligently in the ministry. You know, there's a couple of sneak peeks in the New Testament. You've got several friends of Paul who are involved in the ministry. And you've got Aquila and Priscilla who have a tent-making ministry. You've got this man, Philemon. He is in the business world. But yet what gripped those men, and in the case of his wife, is that they were totally committed to Christ, even though they worked in the everyday business world.
Mm-hmm.
Philemon is seen in the text also as committed to Christ, that he rooted his family in the things of Christ. You find he mentions in these first few verses, Paul does both Philemon's wife and his son, who is also said to be a fellow laborer, which really brings an indication that this man was a very godly man in leading his home in the things of God. And he had immersed his wife and his son in the things of God.
In the ministry. And all the while, he's doing his secular employment. Is that what we're hearing here?
Yeah, that's the essence of. He's involved in the workaday world, but he is also a man who's totally committed to the things of Christ and his church.
So in other words, he is a model in some ways of what we have been talking about when we talk about being on somebody's team in terms of many of our listeners going out into the workaday world, like you said, and they're working on, you know, somebody's team in a factory, or they have their own business, or they're working for somebody that has a startup business.
Exactly. You know, and in essence, he was a team player. The last thing you see about this man, Philemon, was that he opens the church in his home. And, you know, you got to ask yourself the question.
Yeah.
Here you've got a man whose home is open to the meeting of the people of God. There is little privacy that's going to be there because the church is meeting every day from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole life was given to the hospitality of God's people. So, you know, you've got a man who's totally committed to the work and the business that he is running, but he is also ultimately committed to the things of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is just a committed man.
So you have a guy who is absolutely committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. What else was he committed to?
Well, we find that this man by the name of Philemon is committed to Christ in such a dynamic way because I think the motto of his life are the words that Paul uses in the text, grace and peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you have a man, and I think Paul is kind of conjuring up the attachment that Philemon has in his life. He was a man of grace. And, you know, the biblical word grace in this text, as well as in the New Testament, is probably one of the most meaningful words in all of the Word of God. It is an immense word. And, you know, on the human standpoint, when we look and think about grace, we think about a quality of a person, their
yeah.
grace or gracious or whatever. But this goes immensely beyond that. The word grace in the mind of Paul and also in the life of this man Philemon was what God had done for him. And so, in a sense, Paul is using Philemon's motto of life, the grace of life, to remind him of now the reconciliation that needs to take place between him and one of his employees, so to speak. And I think Paul does this because this man, Philemon, was a man of grace.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a man of peace, which is an incredible word. The New Testament word, eirene, from which we get
yeah,
peace,
right.
is a word which literally means to weave together. And it's a really interesting concept when you stop and think about it. If you've ever gone to a store where you bought something that had an inconsistent pattern,
yeah,
you
right.
got a secondhand deal,
sure.
and you look it over and you see some of the threads
yeah,
going the wrong direction
pulling out,
or
right.
whatever, it didn't weave together properly, so in essence it's not at peace. But we've got a situation here with a man who has been brought into peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul is actually bringing into his mind his motto of a peace-loving man, and he's going to see peace in a relationship that has been fractured and wounded.
Yeah, and so he's committed to Christ, if I'm hearing you correctly, and part of that is because of the grace of God and the peace of God in his life. But the second commitment, I think, that we would see here is what?
He's also committed to people. I mean, this man by the name of Philemon, as the text says in verse 5, hearing of your love and faith, and then the end of the verse says, and toward all the saints.
Mm.
Here is a man that just loves people. it is often so refreshing when you get around a person who just loves other people. And
right.
They accept them right they are, and they just take them at face value. Not that they want him to stay there, but he is a man that has been committed to people. And so he commends them for that, because now we've got a situation in which that's really going to be tested to its ultimate extremes, but he's committed to people.
I've watched that as a pastor in our own church at Brookside, and I've watched different men in our church just go out of their way to invest themselves in people. And they're doing it at all stages. I mean, we have one man who has been very influential in our community, Dr. John McClario, and even at this stage in his life, he is still committed to people. And it's not just the important people. I've watched him go to some of the most overlooked people in our church and reach out to them. And then we have other guys maybe who are just at the other end of the spectrum, and they're younger or they're not at any kind of high profile, but they're also reaching out to other men. And it's been real neat to see happen as the men in our church have come alive to reaching out to one another.
Oh, it is an awesome thing to watch. And when that commitment to people begins to happen, really you have the heart of Philemon, because that's the kind of man he was. Then in those first eight verses of the text, we also find something really foundational about Philemon, and that is he's committed to fellowship and he is committed to forgiveness. You know, Paul says that the communication, that word is actually the word fellowship, of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And Paul really is painting an awesome picture here, because he is basically bringing into view that his fellowship that has been communed to the saints and his life committed to the saints is now going to be able to be seen in this most profound statement to the church, that forgiveness is limitless. And, you know, that's the picture of our forgiveness toward God.
And that's hard to do.
And that is very hard to do. But now there's going to be an illustration. We talk about messages as we as preachers give, and we talk about illustrations. You want to talk about, and I think what Paul is saying is there's about to be an illustration given to the church there at Colossae, unlike they could ever understand or believe apart from just seeing it with their own eyes.
And Philemon is going to be that illustration.
He is going to be the illustration of what
of limitless forgiveness.
Mm.
Well, you know, sometimes the Lord does take us and he tests us in ways. And sometimes it's for our growth. It always results in that. But sometimes it really is, like you're saying here, so that we would have the privilege of being an illustration of something that God is trying to teach the body.
Mm.
And I just think of how many thousands of believers have been stirred over the centuries since this letter has been written by the story of Philemon. It almost scares you, doesn't it? That Philemon had resisted and Philemon had not wanted to follow through on what Paul was saying to him. And God wants all of us to do that. And with that, Brother Kevin, we're going to have to end the broadcast today. We look forward to the next part in our series on how to be a team player in life. Until that time, may the Lord bless you.